Ezekiel chapter 46. Ezekiel chapter 46, a very familiar passage here. We've arrived at the last Sunday for the year 2019, and today I want us to reflect back on our theme for the year, our extraordinary God using ordinary people like you and me. Many messages have been preached throughout the year. Some have stuck out more than others. Amen. Some have fallen into obscurity. But today's encouragement comes from a message that was preached in the past and could be preached at the end of every year, if the truth be known. Amen. And the area of scripture is Ezekiel chapter 46. Ezekiel 46, a preacher, Ezekiel 46 does not come to mind at all. Amen. But it will once we get to the actual text that we'll be using. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 46. Now, what's going on here? Ezekiel is talking about some things of future worship that's going to take place in the nation of Israel. This is going to be at a future date and time that he is talking about. More than likely, this is a millennial type of a setting for Israel and what they will be doing when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom here on earth in the millennium. But notice down in verse number 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God." Amen. Anytime that happens, you must listen. "The gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate. And the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and the new moons. And the burnt offering that the prince shall offer unto the Lord in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram, and the meat offering for the lambs as he shall be able to give, and an hin of oil to an ephah. And in the day of the new moon it shall be a young bullock without blemish, and 6 lambs and a ram. They shall be without blemish. And he shall prepare a meat offering, an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram. And for the lambs, according as his hand shall attain unto, and an hin of oil to an ephah," dealing with all the different preparations for the offerings that will be given in the temple. Verse 8, "And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of that gate, and he shall go forth by the way thereof." Notice verse 9. I want you to read that with me, because this is where we're preaching from today. Verse number 9, all together. "But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it." In other words, he said, the way you come in is not the way you go out. Verse number 10, "And the prince in the midst of them, when they go in," notice this, "shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth." He gives some other instructions there, but our text is coming from verse number 9. Say, preacher, what are we talking about? In our text, Ezekiel's instructing the people that in the future, when they came to worship God in the house of God, they were not to leave the same way they came in. Somebody say amen. I preached a message several years ago that the way you come in should not be the way you leave. Anytime you come before the presence of God, there should be a change in your life. And he said, the way you come into the house of God is not the way you go out. And we're going to use that as a principal verse. There should be a change in what happens. They were not to exit the same way they entered. Some people believe it was for the sake of confusion. Some believe it was for convenience, others continuity, or it could have been for counting purpose to keep track of the number of worshipers. One thing is for certain, they were not to leave the same way they came in. We can learn a good spiritual principle lesson from this practical but simple truth. I remember preaching this at a teen retreat one year, and I had about 20 boys on the outside of the door, and had about 20 boys on the inside. And I said, now open up the door and go out and come in at the same time. It was pandemonium. It was confusion. Folks were bustling, trying to get through this narrow door. And so we don't know why the command is put there, but we do know it's put there. We do know if they came in that door, they went out that door. If they came in this door, they went out that door. They went out opposite. In other words, they left differently than when they came. Folks, we're about to enter 2020, and we're leaving 2019. And you should not be leaving 2019 the same way you came in spiritually. Somebody say amen. You should be leaving 2019 differently than when you came in. And when you get to 2020, if the Lord tarries, you should not enter 2021 the same way you came in 2020. You should be getting closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and resembling him more and more. Amen. I ain't preaching yet. Amen. I'm just making the truth. Amen. And I want to lay that fundamental foundation and that principle true because I preached this back in 2008. And I believe I can preach this every year and it won't get old. Why? Because it's a practical truth that we should be different every time we come before God. Why? That's his desire for you, and that's his desire for me, to be conformed to the image of his dear son. I do pray that you're looking at your Christian life. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look in front. Look at your life. How did you come in 2019, and how are you going out? Is God pleased with it? Are you pleased with it? Father, bless now these next moments that we have. Lord, I don't know who in here is saved and who is unsaved. Lord, I don't know who in here came in 2019 and is leaving the same way they came in. God, I do know it's not your desire for us. Your desire for us is to change. Help us to look at this practical truth in verse number 9. And understanding that the application for them, we may not understand because this is future worship that's going to take place. But the practical application and the spiritual truth we can discern. You never want us to come before you in the house of God and leave the same way we came in. You always want us to be conformed more to the image of Jesus Christ. Help us as we consider this thought, not leaving 2019 the way we came in. Lord, may we consider it from an aspect of, I want to be better for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be more conformed to Christ's likeness. And God, if we failed thus far to be conformed more, then God, help us to do our dead level best to give our lives to you, to consecrate our lives to you. And Lord, to leave 2019 with the understanding, I want to be like Jesus Christ more in 2020. God, I pray that we would look back over the year and see an extraordinary God desirous to use ordinary people. But we must give ourselves to be used. Lord, I do pray that your hand would guide in this last message for this Sunday. We might reflect upon our own Christianity, see what areas you would like us to shore up, what areas we need to sacrifice and give up, what we need to do to be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Work in our midst today, Lord. Save anyone that is not saved. Lord, bring someone to renewal and repentance that needs renewal and repentance. Lord, help that Christian that is struggling to continue in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as the prophet said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Help us to rest in the joy of the Lord, seeing what you want to do in our lives. Work in a marvelous way like only you can. We thank you, love you, and praise you, God, for what you've done and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Say, preacher, what are those questions? First of all, do you see little to no change in your Christianity week after week? Do you see little to no change? Are you the same Christian that you were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago? Another question would be this. Do you see little change in what you do for God? Do you see little change in what you do for God? By the way, the more you give yourself to God, the more God wants to use you. It's just a simple fact. Do you see little change in what you do for God? Do you see little change in your Christianity? Do you see little change in where you go for God as far as witnessing and who you reach out to? What you give to God, is it still the same? Do you still just give 10% and nothing else? Or do you even give 10%? Have you seen any change in your growth for God? Have you seen any change in your knowledge of God? Do you know Him better this year than you did last year? Are you closer to Him this year than you were last year? Just questions. If you haven't noticed any changes lately, maybe, just maybe, it's because you came in to worship God and left the same way you came in, which is tragic. Say, preacher, what is that like? It's like going to brush your teeth, but you don't. It's like going to shower because you stink, and you don't. It's like going to change filthy clothes because they're dirty, and you don't. Amen. That's what it's like. Because if there's something wrong, God uses the preaching and teaching of His word to clean us up. He uses the preaching and teaching of His word to get us cleaned up, to get us dressed up, to get us ready to be used for God. And so if I don't see any changes in my Christianity week after week and what I do for God and where I go for God and what I give for God and how I grow for God and how I know God, it's maybe, just maybe, I came to worship and left the same way I came in. Amen. It's tragic. Notice the scripture, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. He that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. And he states, he shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. My encouragement to you is don't leave 2019 the way you came in. Don't leave a church worship service the way you came in. There should always be the question in your heart, God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? God, what sacrifices can I make for you? Not gimme, 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 gimme. But what can you do in my life for your glory and your honor? By the way, it's not about you. Amen. It's not about you. It's about God and His glory. Oftentimes, I think we come to church like this. We walk in the door. Ta-da! I'm here. You are so blessed to have me here. I am just the cream of the crop. And if I weren't here, this church could not go on. You need me. You need me. You need my time. You need my treasure. You need my talent. If I am not here, you will be a miserly little person. And you're blessed to have me here. Others come in like this. Well, I've got to go to church today. Got nothing to offer God. Got no tithe, got no talent, got no treasure. I'm here. Shouldn't be here. Rather be at home. Sleep. Then you got others. That when they come in, God, I don't have much to offer. What I have, Lord, you can. Lord, help me to be a blessing to somebody today. Lord, help me to love you more today. God, point out the areas in my life that are wrong, or that I can be right. Lord, help me to be an encouragement to someone. Lord, I want to be you. Whatever you want, God, that's what I want to do. That's how we're going to come in. One of those three ways. We're going to come in all showy, you need me, or come in, well, I don't want to be here, or God, I'm here, use me for your honor and your glory. My question is, how do you come in every time? Amen. Rhetorical question, you don't have to answer. By the way, did Jesus change? According to Luke 2:52, he did.
Luke 2:52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Wisdom is intellectually, stature is physically, spiritually favor with God, socially favor with man. If Jesus Christ changed in his upbringing, guess what? You and I can change too, amen? He was born God, he was born man, but he still had to learn those things that were necessary, showing you and I that we ought to change. Amen. We should be different continuously after coming before the Lord. So the exhortation today is don't leave 2019 the way you came in. Preacher, I didn't come for a message like this. Amen. Then what you come for? And that's part of the problem right there. You come to hear from God to make you better and to make you more like Christ, not less. Somebody say amen. Why did you come in the first place? If it wasn't to worship God, why did you come? Amen. Notice, first of all, the entrance to the temple. The entrance to the temple. Because if we're going to leave 2019 differently than we came in, there's something that needs to take place. The entrance to the temple. Entrance means it's the instance of coming or going. The entrance is the coming or going in. Notice what he says down there in verse number 9. But when the people of the Lord shall come before the Lord. I want you to pay close attention first. To leave differently, they needed to come first. Somebody say amen. I got no time to hear, well, I'm too tired to come to church. Everybody's tired. Jesus was tired, but yet still he walked the road to Calvary for you and I. And he was battered, and he was bruised, and he was beaten, and he had thorns on his head, and he had been buffeted. So don't tell me you're tired because everybody is tired. Well, I got to work. Well, tell them to let you off. That's a novel idea. I want to be off for God. That's novel. I did it all the time. I say, hey, boss, you know, I'll work any other days, but can I have the Lord's day off? I'll work overtime, I'll work extra time if I can get that day off. There's a novel idea. To leave differently, they needed to come first. Notice the scripture does not say if they come, maybe they will come, but when the people shall come. Notice that. But when the people of the Lord, what's that word? Shall come before the Lord. It's not even an issue about if. Folks say, well, if the Lord's willing, I'll come. God's always willing. He's always willing. Well, if the Lord tarries, I guess I'll come. I guess I'll come. No, if the Lord tarries, I'll be there unless I'm providentially hindered by something that's beyond my capacity. Nothing beyond my capacity, I'll be there. But when the people of the Lord shall come before the Lord. God's people should weekly be at God's house when the doors are open. Maybe, just maybe, it's because I don't come to church often. That's why I didn't change. Ooh, preacher, don't go there. Don't go there, preacher. Is there something wrong with your legs? Is there something wrong with your car? Is there something wrong with you that you can't come to church? Amen. I see folks looking around. Ain't no time to look around. You better look within. You better look within. Is there something wrong with you that you can't be in church? I'm just saying. Now, I know we get sick. I understand all those things. I'm saying when we purposely don't come. When we purposely don't come. And we know we ought to. Amen. How many of y'all know y'all should be in church? Say amen. Some of y'all didn't say amen because you don't know. And because you don't want to know. And because to say yes would incriminate you. First, to leave differently, they needed to come. When the people... But when the people of the Lord shall come before the Lord, they needed to come. The second emphasis is on who they were coming before. Notice this. But when the people of the Lord shall come, not if come, shall come before the Lord. Every time we come into the house of God, we're coming before the Lord. Not just anybody, but somebody, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hold on, well, I'm coming because the preacher going to call me. I'm coming so I can show off my new suit. I'm coming to show off my dress. I'm coming to show off my makeup. I'm coming to show off my hairstyle. I'm coming to show off my hat.
I'm coming so everybody can hear me sing. Woo! I'm coming so people can see me usher. I'm coming so people can see me play the piano. I'm coming so people see me play me guitar. I'm coming so... We're coming before the Lord. Folks, when you come to the house, it's not a fashion show. It's not a pageant. It's not Mr. Universe. It's not Miss America. This is about God Almighty. And I think we miss the boat sometimes. Our fellowship is great. Seeing people is great. I'm not against those things. Dressing up in your best and your hair and your hat, I praise God for those things. But I need to realize when I come to church, I'm coming before the Lord. I'm coming before Him. I'm coming to hear from Him distinctly so He can tell me what I need to do. By the way, I don't follow you around all throughout the week to see what y'all are doing to give me a sermon to preach on. I don't come to your house and find out what books they got in the bookshelf. Well, I'm preach on that. What movies they got? Oh, preach on that. Oh, they got liquor. I'm definitely preaching on that on Sunday. Amen. Oh, look at that. Oh, they was lying. I'm going to prom. I'm preaching on that. I don't follow you around to see what I'm going to preach on. You know who I come before? I come before God. And I get in the Word of God. And you are not the consideration when I'm preaching as far as that's concerned. God gives me a message. This is what the people need. I come in and stand in this pulpit. I have no clue what you've done all week long. Unless you tell me. And I have to tell some people sometimes, now look, I'm going to be preaching on such and such on Sunday now. But don't think I'm preaching at you because you told me that. Because my message is already done. So don't think I altered it just so I can pick on you. That's not my goal, not my intent, not why I'm here. My job is not to pick. My job is to preach. Now, if preaching picks, then so be it. Amen. Hey, every time we come, week after week, the Bible is open. We should check ourselves before each service. Check ourselves after the service, just like looking in the mirror. Most of us looked in the mirror this morning to see how we looked, and we made sure our face was on straight, amen? Our hair was on straight. Our suit was on straight. Our shoes were all cleaned up. Most of us looked in the mirror, but let me ask you a question. Did you look in the mirror of the Word of God? Because God will show you what needs to be changed. Just like the mirror shows you what needs to be altered. When you get in the book, God will show you what you need to change. Now, you'll either change it or leave it. Amen? Now, I guarantee you, if I asked for a show of hands, I would say 99% of us looked in the mirror this morning. Some of you looked in there when you were brushing your teeth. Some of you looked in there when you were doing your lipstick. Some of you looked in the mirror when you were washing your face to get stuff out of your eyeballs. Amen. Some of you looked to see how tired you looked. I saw my wife this morning. She said, "Ooh, you look tired." I thought, boy, I wish I looked like I felt. Amen. Because then it would be a whole lot worse. Amen. She says, "You look tired." But I just got finished running my parents all around, running G2 back and forth to basketball games. I'm like, I am tired. Kenny, you know it's bad when you fall asleep at a basketball game. I was sitting up there. Joshua fell asleep first. I fell asleep second, amen. With all the noise and the buzzards and the loudness. I didn't tell Joshua I fell asleep. I just picked on him because he fell asleep. Amen. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? It's like, look in the mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed." Those that are changed, say it again, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, when I look in the Word of God, I should be more and more like Christ. I see who I am, I see what I'm not, and He wants to change me. Amen. By the way, God still, our extraordinary God, still delights in using ordinary people like you and I. One thing about these folks, they were all willing participants. But you may be like this one that was an unwilling participant. And you know what happened to him. I don't think you want that to happen to you. Each service is uniquely designed to bring enlightenment and change to us for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 still says, "Whether if we eat or drink or whatsoever you do, I should do it all to the glory of God." All to the glory of God. Hey, I should ask this question. Is my attitude right to hear the word of God? Some folks come in and they're upset already at God and at the preacher, and so they don't want to hear anything. Did you come with your attitude right saying, I want to hear what God has in my life? And then as soon as they hear, get right, I didn't want to hear that. You need to be in church. I didn't want to hear that. Well, if you're in church, it's not a problem. It's when you're not in church is when it's a problem. I didn't want to hear that. Can you imagine talking to God that way? But we come before the presence of the Lord. It said, but when the people shall come before the presence of the Lord. Well, I didn't say it outward. What are you saying inward? Because you don't have to say it out loud to God. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. Some folks say, I don't want to be in the house of God. I got no time. I remember before I got saved, I told my mother that, preacher. I ain't got time to pray. Uh-oh, it's right. If she could have, she would have reached through that phone from Illinois and reached all the way to Belgium where I was at and strangled me by the neck. She said, boy, you need to pray. I said, Mama, I ain't got time to pray. I said, I'm too busy to pray. She said, boy, you better not hang this phone up till you promise me you're going to pray. And you better do it.
There you go.
I thought, man, I'm supposed to be going home pretty soon on leave. I better change my plans. I go home.
Yes, sir.
Hey, she made me promise.
Yeah.
And guess what? I prayed as soon as I got off that phone just so I wouldn't break the promise.
Go,
I prayed I was in a phone booth, preacher. I didn't have a phone. I was across the street in the church parking lot of one of them Catholic churches owned a pay phone, putting 20 francs in at a whop. And I was broke after that, amen? Because she wouldn't let me hang up till I promised. I kept putting 20 francs in there, 20 francs. Hey, what is our attitude like when we come to the house of God? Is it really to hear? Is it really to hear? And if my attitude is not right, is my application ready? Am I ready to apply what I hear? Most folks think preachers get up here and spit, spin, and sputter for their own well-being. Well, preacher's going to entertain us today. He's going to get up there and start dancing around. Wow, y'all don't hear me. Woo, I've got a song coming on. No, it's not my job. My job is to preach. Your job is to have a right attitude to hear it. And then your job is to have a ready application to apply it. So far, we see that they were coming before the Lord. Their entrance to the house of God was to be special. But I want you to notice something thirdly here as well. Not just they needed to come, and they were coming before the Lord. Notice the word entereth. He says this, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth, if you know anything about the King James Bible, the TH means it's a continual action verb. The connotation is continual. He that entereth means that he should be coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and continuing to come until he can't come anymore. Continual action. He that entereth, it means it's continuing to happen. They're doing this on a repetitious basis. They're continuing. I'm so glad for the King James Bible. Because it doesn't say he entered one time. He entereth. That means this is going to be something continual. Coming before the Lord continually is something that should be continually done. By the way, 2020 is not the time to let up, to give up, or to give in on our Christian walk. God is still good all the time, and God is still God all the time. Amen. So if he was good enough to come on this time, he's good enough to come on that time. He is not a circumstantial God, meaning that, well, he's going to do this time, and so this time he doesn't have to do that this way. Man, God is good all the time. And all the time he's still God, whilst he's still good. And I think we forget that sometimes. We forget that God is God, and he is still God. By the way, he was God in 2019. Guess what he's going to be in 2020? Guess what he was in 1920? Guess what he was in 2011? And guess what he's going to be today and tomorrow? He's still going to be God. Paul said, well, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good, but he's still God too. And we forget that. Yeah, he's good, but he's still God. And God should be worshipped. And God should be praised. And God is still holy. And it says here, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord, it's not up for debate. They were to come. They were to enter in. He that entereth by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. Notice number two, not just the entrance to the temple, but the engagement in the temple. The engagement in the temple. Notice what it says there. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north shall go gate to worship. Notice that. To worship. He's entering in to worship. Engagement means an agreement to do something at a fixed time. I can remember the time when I asked my wife to marry me. We had an engagement. The date was set. January 14th, 1984. It was about a year out and we were going to get married on January 14th. It was an engagement time and we had a date fixed and whoo, did I look forward to that time. I'm going to go down to the marriage altar. I'm going to take my honey. We're going to stand before the preacher. We're going to give our vows and I get to kiss her and smooch her and have her the rest of my life. I couldn't wait for January 14th, 1984, preacher. 36 years ago. And guess what? I'm just as excited about her if I was just like I was back then, anticipating the time when she was going to walk down the aisle and I was standing there. Dun, 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 dun. And then what was that bride's march they played? Dun, 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 whatever it was, amen. I couldn't hear because I was looking at her marching down there, man. And she was coming. I was like, I waited a whole year for you. She's coming down there. I'm like, walk faster. Walk fast. I want to get the kiss so we can get the honeymoon going, amen. Can kiss from here? Can we skip the preacher? No, we can skip the preacher. Amen. Hey, what happened? The engagement was a fixed time that we had set that, hey, this is what we're going to do. Their job was to come to worship. That was the engagement. My engagement was to get my honey. Amen. Hey, the time is set. The time is fixed. We're going to come here. We're going to exchange vows. And we're going to be married, married, married. Their engagement was to come to worship. I came to that church that day to get married. Amen. My honey made me wait to January 14th, 1984. I look back now and think, man, I was worth the wait. I was worth the wait. Hey, the reason I kept my engagement was to get my sweetheart. What if I missed the date, preacher? What if I didn't show up at the church? Let some other old lowlife can claim my bride. Amen. What if I didn't show up? Well, I guess he don't love me. I guess he don't want me. What happened? What happens when you don't show up at church? I guess that shows I don't love God. I guess I don't want God that much. Preacher, it doesn't show that. What does it show then? You tell me, what does it show? What does it show? That I don't care about a God that's holy. I don't care that I'm supposed to come and worship him. I don't care. I got things to do. What if I had things to do on the day that I had my engagement set and said, well, honey, you know what? I'm going bowling with the guys. Well, you know what? I'm going to play basketball with the guys. And I know this is important to you, but it's just not as important to me. Somebody say amen. Coming to worship should be one of the highlights of your week. But it's all in where your heart's at. It's all in where your heart's at. See, if your heart's not after God, then you're not going to want to come. Because you don't want to hear what God's got to say because he might ask you something. Like, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, you know I love thee. I'm just saying. The engagement was the purpose for which they entered into the temple. That's the fundamental reason why they came in the first place, to worship God Almighty, to bring their sacrifices, to bring their offerings. Worship means to honor, praise, adore someone worthy of honor and praise and accolades that we can give them. By the way, true worship involves not only things we do or don't do, but also our thoughts and feelings as we do them. Somebody say amen. So you can say you love your wife. You can say you love this person. You can say this or that or the other. But what does the inward man say? Amen. See, we're not mind readers. So my wife asked me to go get something, and I got to say, hey, man, I want to get that stuff. But guess what I'm doing? Yes, honey. Here you go. I mean, y'all see Yosemite Sam. Murmuring under our breath. That's how some of us are in our hearts when it's time to come worship God. I could have been at home watching football. God could have been busy blessing someone else and not blessed you. How about that? How about that? Well, I'm too busy to bless you today. I get you next week. Gotcha. What if God did that to us? Well, God, oh, where were you when I needed you? Where were you last Sunday? Somebody say amen. Preacher, you meddling too much. You picking. I'm talking about coming to worship. I'm talking about entering in the temple. I'm talking about coming before the presence of a holy God. That's what I'm talking about. What are you talking about? I'm talking about not going into 2020 doing the same things that we did in 2019. That's why people don't get saved, because Christians aren't doing their job coming before a holy God. We'd rather do our own business. We'd rather tweet text and tweet and sit and spit and sputter and all these other things than do business with God. Because God might require something of me. Let somebody else get the blessing. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Deuteronomy 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Again, the engagement is the purpose for which they entered into the temple. This is the fundamental reason why they came in the first place, to worship Almighty God. Notice again, but when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship. That's why they came in. They came in that door. They came in to worship. They did, paid their dues, did whatever they were supposed to do in honoring God. And then they went out differently than when they came in. These folks, if they came in that door, they came in to worship. They brought all their sacrifices. They did what they were supposed to do. And they went out differently than when they came in. What am I saying? The entrance of our time in the house of God should be different. We should be ready to hear, ready to apply, ready to get involved. So the entrance to the temple, they're coming before the Lord. The engagement in the temple, they were coming to worship. But then notice thirdly, the exit from the temple. The exit from the temple. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. Notice that last statement. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over against it. Bluntly put, folks, exit means to go out or to leave a place. In other words, they went out differently than when they came in after meeting God in God's house. Now, maybe it was for continuity. Maybe it was for accounting. Maybe it was for confusion. But I know this, they didn't leave the same way they came in. How do you leave God's house when you come? Preacher, I didn't get anything out of it. You get out of a bank what you put in it. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You get out of a bank what you put in it. You get out of a job what you put in it. You don't put anything in the bank, don't expect anything out. You don't put anything in the house of God by way of worship, don't expect anything out. Somebody say amen. Hey. You cannot come into the house of God with a haughty spirit, an I don't want to be here, a flippant attitude, and expect to get something out of church. You come in, well, I just got to get the time the preacher going to be long-winded today, and I know he is. He's known for that, and get him going to point, and that's why I'm not going to say amen. Because you say amen, he's going to get carried away. Well, you get out of the house of God what you put in there. You're not blessed. Don't blame God. Pastor White already gave you that in Malachi. Don't blame God. God's a big blesser. God is able to bless you abundantly more than you ever could imagine he could. Job got back twice as much. Look how much Jacob got. Look what Abraham had. Amen. Abraham had so much stuff, he had to divide up from Lot. They had so much stuff. So don't tell me God is not in the blessing business. the exit was to be different than when they came in. Spiritually speaking, that principle should apply to us also. After coming before the Lord to worship God, our exit should be different than our entrance to church or before the presence of God. I should go out differently. I should say, man, I was in the God's presence today. Man, I heard the word of God. Man, God challenged my soul. Man, God pointed out to me some things that I need to work on. My attitude's not always right. My application's not always right. I don't do it all the time. Oh, God, help me to be what you want me to be. Hey, folks, I surrendered to preach at a preaching service. That's how God spoke to my heart. When I was preaching, when somebody was preaching and they spoke to my heart, I surrendered to preaching, knew God was dealing with me as I was in the Word of God. That's when it happened. Good things happen when we come before God and we're surrendered for service. God knows when you're surrendered and when you're not. He knows when you want to hear and when you don't. And sometimes God uses the foolishness of preaching to get you stirred up to do what you know you need to do. After coming before the Lord to worship, we should be different. Let me ask you another question. Are we going out from before the Lord different than we came in 2019? We should. Folks, all year we've been talking about how an extraordinary God wants to use ordinary people. And we listed names of people that God used. Names of people that God used. We looked at topic after topic after topic this year of how God delights in using ordinary people for extraordinary works. And folks, he wants to use you. But you've got to be willing to be used by him. And when you come to the house of God, it's oftentimes when he speaks to you, whether it's about giving, whether it's about missions, whether it's about service, whether it's about surrendering for missions, whether it's surrendering to priests, oftentimes this is when God speaks to you. He speaks to you at home in the quiet when you're reading your Bible, when you're doing your studies, but he also speaks through preaching. And I wonder, what was our entrance like in 2019? How did we come in? And what was our engagement like in 2019? For what purpose did we come? Did we even come? Amen. Did we even come? Preacher, I was there every week. I didn't ask you if you came. I'm asking you if you came. Folks, let me tell you a story. I remember a time that I was frustrated with my pastor. And I sat in the church. I didn't miss a service. But don't ask me what was said. Because my mind was somewhere else. Because someone had told me something against my preacher. And what they told me about my preacher, I believed it. And so for a year I sat there. And I sat there. And I sat there. And I didn't hear Sunday school. I didn't hear Sunday morning. I didn't hear Sunday night. I didn't hear Wednesday. I went on soul winning. And I didn't hear a thing. Why? Somebody had tainted me. So it matters not if you're here. Are you here to hear? That's what matters. Because I came and I'm thinking in my mind, he can't tell me nothing because somebody told me this about him. And so my mind was gone and I was tainted and everything about my time before the Lord was wrecked and ruined. And it took preaching to get me right with God. And I remember the day God broke my heart. And I went down to that altar and I wept and I wept and I wept and I wept. And I went to my preacher. I said, preacher, I have not been here for you. I sat in that pew. I heard preaching, but I didn't hear preaching for an entire year. So don't tell me just because you come to church, you're hearing, because that's not true. You can come to church all you want to. If your heart's not right and ready to receive, you're not going to hear a thing. I know because I did it. I'm not proud of it at all. It breaks my heart to even think about it. That I wasted an entire year because of what someone had told me. What am I saying? Our entrance, we need to come. Our engagement is to worship. Those two fundamental things will affect our exit. They will affect my entrance, how I come in. Why am I here? What's my engagement to worship? Your entrance, your engagement will while you're there will affect your exit. If you find yourself making worldly decisions and worldly choices, you're not coming before the Lord as you ought to. If you're making decisions that you know are contrary to the word of God, you're not coming before the Lord. You're coming, but you're not hearing, and you're not applying. If you're making decisions that you know God is not pleased with, and don't give me this excuse, well, God understands. He understands. He understands that you have a Bible. He understands that you have a word, and he understands that you're violating it. Amen. Now, praise God for his graciousness and his goodness. Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. In other words, you see how good God is, you should turn and repent. Amen. By the way, you will hear that verse again. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repent. Because God is so good, he makes you want to repent. What's the thing that turned Gomer around when Hosea was out, when she was bad on Hosea? He was good to her. Hosea was good to Gomer. And Gomer said, well, I guess I'll go back home. Why? Gomer's a harlot. She's been out there bad. But Hosea said, I'll take you back. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. She saw how good he was, and she repented and went back. What am I saying? Exit. When we meet with God in his presence, things happen to us. We don't leave the same way. It is said about Moses in Exodus 34:29, when he went up and met with God in his presence. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in his hand, in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mount, Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. In other words, some of the glory of God rubbed off on Moses. Moses came back down and he was aglow.
Yes, sir,
he was aglow.
Yes.
You can tell folks when they've been in the presence of God. And by the way, the presence of the world will make you sinister.
Yes, sir,
it'll make you smile, but it's a sinister smile.
Yes, sir.
Like that Cheshire cat. I'm up to something. You don't know what I'm up to. The joy of the Lord is your strength, though. The world will give you a sinister smile like the Cheshire cat on the Alice in Wonderland. Amen. Give you that kind of grin. You don't know what I've been up to. I'm coming before the Lord in his presence, but you don't know what I've been up to. I don't, but God does.
Yes, sir, he does.
And God has a way to expose you. See, you get involved, make decisions by the world and the world's way outside of the will of God. And I tell you, you might have that Cheshire grin like that cat, but you are up to no good, and God will expose it in due time. But when you get with the Lord and in God's house and God's presence, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you will have a genuine glow like Moses had when he got up into the mount with God. Enoch was different after coming in God's presence. Noah was different. Abraham was different. Jacob was different. Joshua was different. Isaiah was different. Paul was different. And on we could go. We should be different too after meeting with God. The way we're going out should not be the same way we came in. In the future, 2020, we're going to have some challenges to face. We're going to have some changes. And we need to be ready to meet them by coming before the presence of the Lord. Notice verse 9 again. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord, that's their entrance. It's not up for debate. They will come. But then notice what it says. In the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship. That's the engagement. That's why they came in the first place. He shall go out by the way of the south gate. He that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in. That's the exit. They were to leave differently than when they came in. Folks, I think the message and its practicality is very obvious. And we're not Jews, and we're not going to this temple. We're not doing any of those things, but we can grab a principal truth from this future tense verse to know that Israel had some instructions given to them. These instructions principally and practically can speak to you and I about the way we come before the presence of the Lord. Our entrance should come. Our engagement to worship. Our exit. Don't leave the way you came in. Spiritually, ask yourself these questions. Are you changing spiritually? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Am I changing spiritually? Then am I transforming spiritually? Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some folks aren't doing the will of God because their minds haven't been renewed. They're still worldly. They're still thinking worldly. They're still thinking carnally. They're still thinking, I don't want to come before the Lord. I don't want to worship. I don't want to enter the temple. I don't want to go before his presence because he might tell me something is wrong. Well, I think I might have cancer, so I don't want to go to the doctor because he might tell me I do have cancer. Really? I think I'd want to get that diagnosis and get it checked early. I think if there's a problem between me and God, I think I want to know that because he is the blesser. He is sovereign. He is God. I think I want to know when I'm not right with God. Or maybe you already know that you're not right with God. And you're too private to do something about it. Could be. Am I changing spiritually? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Am I transforming spiritually? Romans 12, 2. Am I growing spiritually? 1 Peter 2, 2. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Do you desire the word of God? If you don't, there's your problem right there. As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18 says it this way, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the same God that I'm supposed to be coming before to worship. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Folks, we're challenged to change by God so we can be channeled to do his will. My question is, how are you leaving 2019? By the way, how are you going to leave today? How are you going to leave today? Preacher, I don't care about anything you just said. Hey, folks, don't shoot the messenger. I don't have a hell to put you in, and I don't have a heaven to put you in. My job is just to preach. My job is just to herald. My job is just to warn. My job is just to get the message out. Ezekiel's job was to get the message out. By the way, if Ezekiel hadn't been used of God to get the message out, they wouldn't know they were supposed to leave differently than when they came in. Paul said, "Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? The truth be known sometimes. 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 We're challenged by God to change week in and week out so that we can be channeled to do the will of God. God desires to use ordinary people. Now, he's an extraordinary God. He could use the angels. I don't know if you've read through your Bible in a year, but man, I've come in contact with so many angels in Revelation that I've seen more angels in Revelation than I've seen in the whole Bible. Every time you turn around, there's an angel doing this and doing that and thousands of angels doing this. And then I'm thinking, wow, Revelation is filled. The extraordinary God could use the angels, but guess what? He chooses to use ordinary people. But he wants us to come before his presence. He wants us to engage, worship him. And he wants us to exit to be used by him. By him. Do we know more about Christ this year? Do we know more about God this year? Do we know more about the Holy Spirit this year? Do we know more about what God wants to do with our life this year? Do we know what we believe about the Bible more this year? Is it the word of God? Can I stand on it? Can I prove it to people that this is the very word of God? Do I believe it? Can we stand on it? Do we believe it? Do we practice it? Will we stick by when others forsake it? Because many have forsaken the book. And they've gone other places. But God says, hey, look, I want you to enter in. Worship me and exit differently. Know who I am. Know where I'm found. Know what I want. Know what I desire. I want to change you so that I can channel you to do my will. Folks, 2020 is coming. Maybe you blew your chances in 2019. Maybe you're the same old person. You know what? It's tragic. Maybe you're worse than you came in 2019. Maybe you're worse. You're so bad that you haven't been to church in the month of Sundays. You're so bad that you haven't read your Bible in the month of Sundays. Whoa. You're so bad the only time you pray is bless your food. You're so bad that you don't want to be around God's people unless they're carnal and worldly. Maybe you blew 2019. Don't blow 2020.
Amen.
Don't blow 2020. God is a sovereign God. He's a God of second chances. He's a God of second chances. Hey, folks, if others forsake the Bible, will it shake you up or will you still stand? I'm glad that I've got a book that is unshakable. I've got a God that's unsinkable. I have a salvation that's you can't take it away. It's unlosable, if that's a word. Amen. I am forevermore on my way to heaven, and I'm forevermore going to worship the King of Kings. So I might as well get used to it now. I might as well enter now and come before his presence now and say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Hey, might as well come there and worship him now, because if not, you're going to be miserable in heaven. Because that's all we're going to be doing is worshiping him and serving him. I'm so glad that I can exit out of here and say, Lord, I'm not the best that I need to be. But I'm sure glad that I'm not what I used to be. Hey, folks, if you came in 2019 and you're not where you want to be, that's okay. We've got a God that'll forgive you. We got a God that'll love you. We got a God that'll still take you in and wrap you up and clean you up. Amen. And say, all right, let's get back out there. Let's do it. Amen. We have that kind of a God, an on time God. We should be different than we came in 2019 spiritually. If we're not saved, you need to get saved. Maybe you faked it all this time, and that's why you can't worship. Maybe you faked it all this time. That's why you don't want to come to church. Maybe you faked it all this time and you said a prayer thinking that was going to save you, but you're really not. But you have no desire for the word of God. Got no desire for prayer. Got no desire for service. Maybe you're not saved. I don't know your heart, but God does. If that's you, I would get it settled today. Don't go into 2020 unsaved, playing the game. Folks, there's too many people playing the game already. Too many playing the game already. You need to get saved. If you're saved, keep doing what you're doing if you're doing that which is right. Keep entering. Keep engaging the worship. And keep exiting and go out and bring somebody else in. Keep entering. Keep engaging. Keep exiting. Enter. Engage. Exit. Enter. Engage. Exit. Never let worship to God get tiring to you. Never let it get old. Now, our physical body's going to get tired. But service to Almighty God should never get tired. Oh, yeah, this body gets weary. This body wants to sleep. This body wants to do this. By the way, you can sleep all afternoon today. Amen. You go home, get on your lazy boy, and you can just fall into that lazy boy, go to sleep, turn on your It's a Wonderful Life, whatever you turn on, and just fall to sleep. Because you've already entered. You've engaged. And you've exited, and I pray that we'll leave differently than we came in today. I pray that we met with the Lord today, and God has showed us some things about our attitude, about our application, about our appreciation that we should have to worship him. Folks, we get to worship God. We're not forced to. We get to. We were just talking to somebody just recently. They didn't want to go to church. And they said they didn't want to go to church because they didn't have a tithe to give. And the church was going to expect them to tithe. And so they didn't want to go to church. They said they didn't have gas money to get there. Aren't you glad we don't have a God like that that says, you can't come to church unless you tithe?
Yeah.
Now you should tithe.
That's right, Pastor.
But guess what? If you don't have anything to tithe, guess what? If I didn't get paid, yeah, what am I going to tithe?
That's right.
But then if you got paid, guess what you should do?
Tithe.
Let God. And by the way, this church will never call you on the carpet about putting you on the wall. These are the non-tithers. All these people have neglected to tithe in the past year, 2019. They're 2019 fugitives. They're avoiding the tithe. They're called the tithe robbers. Nicknamed the God robbers. And their name won't be taken down off the wall until they start tithing. With back taxes. With interest. Aren't you glad we don't do that?
Amen, Pastor.
Your tithe is between you and God.
Amen, Pastor. That's right.
This church has no money to give you. God has windows of heaven.
Oh, yes, he does, Pastor. He does.
If you find yourself continuously in the hole, are you entering to engage, to exit?
Amen.
I'm talking about in the hole spiritually. I'm not talking about financially, because if you're in the hole spiritually, finances don't matter. Doesn't matter. Folks, I don't know where you're at. They said, preacher, I wanted a happy message today.
We're talking about coming before the Lord. I don't see any ha-ha-has in this passage. I don't see any ha-ha-has. Now, maybe you see some, but I don't see. They're coming before the Lord to worship. That's serious business. Hey, folks, what's the connotation? Don't leave 2019 where you came in. Don't leave a church service the way you came in. That's not the goal. The goal is to be better than we were before we came in, to be more Christ-like. I do trust that as you leave, God will speak to your heart, give you some things to think about. If you're not saved here, give your heart, your life to Jesus Christ. Get saved today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and looking around. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Well, thank you for this practical passage that we can look at about coming before the Lord. Lord, you said that they were to enter, they were to engage, then they were to exit differently than when they came in. God, help us to take this to heart, view our own spiritual life, and see if we're coming before the Lord, if we're recognizing that we're coming before you. And then, Lord, engaging to worship. And then, Lord, we're exiting differently than we came in. Lord, that's not our desire. That's not what has happened. Lord, show us where we're wrong. Show us what we need to do so that we can leave differently than we came in. So that we can, on the next time that we come before your presence, we can come in ready to engage, ready to exit differently than we came in. Speak to each heart, Lord. There's one that's not saved. Save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. But Lord, work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.